This young man who's joined us in the studio is going to have a really pivotal role to play with some of the young talent that is, or the elite young talent that is emerging through the various systems. He's going to head up the AFL Academy. His name's Tarkin Lockyer. Well known to footy lovers around the country. Been at Collingwood. Yeah, I'm just reading this. 20 straight years. Is that right?
Been there for a long time, yeah.
You had a great career and then you left and you walked straight into coaching the VFL side.
Yeah, straight out of playing, went into coaching, coached our VFL side for a couple of years. From there, I've worked in development for the subsequent time that I've been there and done numerous roles. Worked with the midfield group and the forwards, and my last few years I've been the head of our development program. So, yeah, I've been there a while, so it's going to be a little bit different and jumping into the AFL, which is a big organisation. But I see this opportunity as so exciting and get to work with some really good kids and get to see the country. So.
How'd it come about? How'd the opportunity present itself? Luke Power, of course, had been in the role for a long time and is now at Carlton Footy Club.
Yeah,
how did it come about?
It was sort of a little bit strange, I suppose, because you get through the end of the season, you do your reviews and everyone turns their attention towards next season. And so we were pretty loaded or pretty locked with our roles and got all my plans going forward for what I think next year should look like. And then this sort of came out of the blue a couple of weeks ago. The AFL got in contact with me and just said, look, we've got a role that we think, you know, might suit you, and heard some good things and just sort of went from there. So the more that I heard about the role, it is a little bit different to what I currently do at Collingwood. But, I see it as a really, really exciting opportunity and one that I have to explore.
And so how'd Bucks go with it, just before we get into the new role? But, as you say, you're locked and loaded. You're going to be whatever you're doing at Collingwood, and then you turn around to him and say, no, I'm off.
Yeah, no, Bucks and Walshy were both fantastic. They're great footy people and certainly two guys that I really respect and wanted their opinion on what they thought. So I was really transparent, really open, and just said, look, I've been approached to have a look at this role. I think it's something that I'd like to explore, and I see it as a great opportunity. And they were fantastic. They just sort of said, you do what you need to do, and we'll support you. We'll obviously be sad to have you go, but if this is what you feel you need to explore, then by all means, go for it. So, yeah, no, they were fantastic.
So you pick up the phone, you ring Hayden Skipworth and you say, Skippy, there's a job here at Collingwood if you want to come over. Is that how it works?
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't work like that. But it's amazing how quickly...
It's a merry-go-round, isn't it?
It all works. So, it moves really quickly.
In doing this role, and you went into coaching in your own right straight after playing. Yep. You coached, I think, in 2010. You started coaching the VFL side for Collingwood.
End of 2010.
Yep. So is this all part of the completion of your CV, what you're doing now? Do you see this as part of sort of building that, or have you now decided that maybe you don't want to be a senior AFL coach, you want to go in a different direction?
Yeah, look, I think it's I just think it's a different opportunity and a different skill set. You get really... really comfortable, and I was really comfortable in my role at Collingwood, and you take ownership of the development department, and you feel like you're valued, and you're moving forward. And I've done a few different roles, which sort of rounds you off as a coach, and you see a few different things. For me, this opportunity is about actually being uncomfortable for a little bit,
right,
and jumping into a different space within football, and. Hopefully it gives me a different skill set, and I learn different things. So I'll be in touch with the recruiting and list management and having a look at, you know, the way that the AFL works with, say, marketing and all the media stuff. So it's a different skill set, and I'm not sure what doors may open up or where my interest may go from here, but I do love coaching. In particular, I've loved working with our younger players, and that's why this role is so appealing with the kids coming through the draft. But I'm not sure where it might go.
What makes you feel uncomfortable about this?
Well, it's just I've been at Collingwood for 20 years. I know everyone. I know what every day looks like. You put on the same black T-shirt and you put your shorts on and away you go.
Stepping out into the unknown now.
So when I'm driving down Swan Street in a couple of weeks' time, instead of turning left into the Holden Centre, I've got to keep going a little bit. So, look, it is. And it's just spending time in a new organisation. It's getting around to coaches around the country that I probably haven't met. And just getting in front of people, which will be different because I've had the same thing for a long time now. So
let's get down to the tin tacks then. So you'll be in charge of the elite programs from the academy. I've had a small experience with it, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. You're going to be so lucky to work with all these best kids, highly motivated, but how confident are you in the system that, that we're not missing anyone along the way with our programs?
Yeah, so I think why this is appealing to someone like me, and why the AFL have sort of had a look at someone like me, is I've been on the other side of the fence. So I know over the past, 10 years, I know the finished product, or what the players, what the clubs are looking for on draft day. And I know the expectations around, AFL footy and the gap that sort of exists between underage football and what the AFL is asking. So having a good idea about that, and then moving in and working with the younger players is what I'll be charged with is trying to make these guys better. So on draft day, in a couple of weeks' time, the product that we're about to take is better than what it is.
If I'm a young kid at Scotch College or Melbourne Grammar, and I'm 17 and I'm in the elite programs, how is that working in trying to satisfy Scotch College? I might be on a scholarship.
Yeah.
Trying to satisfy Vic Metro. Trying to satisfy all the different clubs who need to see at different levels. How's that all going to work?
Yeah, so the TAC over Cup the past, team, and the way that the AFL sort of set up recently, that they've sort of changed. They've changed a lot of the pathways, and try to make it a more unified and decentralised is the term that they're sort of using. Where, in essence, we're player driven. And we want to. It's all about the player. We want the player to be the best that they can be. So how? And this is part of my role, is how can I get the Scotch College coach, the Vic Metro coach, and the Oakley coach, plus myself, working a little bit closer together and working in a more streamlined sort of fashion, so that this kid's not torn here there. So that'll be a challenge for me, and that's across the country. So, it's a big job, and there'll be and everyone's different. Everyone wants to win. Everyone wants the best for themselves, and certainly the coaches want to move forward and progress and move up the chain as well. So part of my role is trying to help the coaches coach in a more efficient manner, stay a little bit more in touch with what the AFL is doing, the trends of the game. But trying to get all these guys on the same page in some regard. Now they are all different, and everyone's got their own strengths.
The schools like to win too.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm not going to be walking in and telling the coaches how they should coach, but I want to try and help them be the best coach they can be.
And you're confident that the kid in Swan Hill is, he has to travel to either the Bush Rangers is or somewhere, or I'm not sure where they would sit, or Mildura, if you're in Mildura, that young man is getting equal opportunity and as good an opportunity, given the logistical challenges.
There's always going to be that, and even working in with the Allies, the tyranny of distance between New South Wales and Queensland and Tassie and the Northern Territory has its challenges. And that's certainly, I've got to get in there and get an idea of what it all looks like and find out what's taken place prior to me accepting this role and trying to pick out, what's the good stuff that we need to continue to foster. And what are the opportunities that we might be able to change and make better? So, I'm really excited about the opportunity that's in front of me and can't wait to get into it.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about Collingwood? And in particular, this season, I think Bucks described the disappointment greater this year than what it was last year, losing the grand final. Is that how you read it too?
Well, certainly, certainly everyone's disappointed when you lose. There's generally only one team at the end of the season that's happy with the way they've gone. So, look, it is disappointing. And in that moment, absolutely, because the disappointment is that we didn't put our best foot forward, or we don't feel like we played to our potential.
Is that because you weren't allowed to play to your potential, or you just didn't believe the players handled the conditions and the day as well as what they should have?
Yeah, well, I think you need to pay respect to the opposition. Yeah. They played a great brand of footy and were better on the day. That's why we have finals and we have a knockout system. You just need to be better for the occasion. But look, if you take away that performance, we've had a pretty good year. So not all is lost, and I don't think I think moving forward for Collingwood it won't be totally reinventing the game plan or anything like that. It'll just be being better when they need to be better. They don't have to reinvent anything.
What do they need to improve? What part do you think Collingwood need to improve? I mean, they've almost got there the last 2 years. What's that next part of their game they need to improve to be able to win a grand final?
I think, and it's difficult for me to say because I'm still working there. I'm about to go back to work in a minute.
No, you've left there now.
No, well, I think in any sport, and you look at the games that we've been associated in the last 2 years with the grand final and that prelim that we lost, that is the hottest of stage that you'll get. Tight game, so much on the line, and one side of the coin, you win by a couple of points or you lose by a couple of points. In essence, I think, and where the game's gotten to now, is the autonomy of the players and the inability of the coaches to actually impact the game in those moments means that the way that we teach the players, coach the players, and the amount of understanding and knowledge of what needs to happen in those moments from the players' point of view needs to be crystal clear. So, and this is not just a Collingwood thing, I don't think, is that in those moments under such pressure and fatigue and with so much riding on the line, every player on the ground needs to be on the same page. And it's really easy to lose your way in those moments.
We're talking to Tarkin Lockyer, 227 games at the Pies, been there for 20 years, coached at every level, apart from the senior level, of course, may get there eventually, and now is heading up the AFL Academy. Pressure on young footballers, or young people in general, but pressure. It's a constant theme that we talk about often. I know you're a listener of the show, which we love and appreciate.
Love the quiz.
You can take it over if you want.
Anytime you like, Tuck.
The pressure's real. How have you got a something in place or a thought in mind as you take over these elite 15, 16, 17-year-old kids who put so much pressure on themselves because they think it's a be-all and end-all and making the AFL is going to be, and if it doesn't happen, where do I go? What's your plan for that?
Look, with my dealings over the last couple of years, absolutely there's pressure, and whether it's real or whether it's perceived in the player's head, often the pressure comes from the expectation from within. We've got so many examples of guys who, through different circumstances, have this often inflated expectations on what they need to know in the AFL world. So young players, excuse me, that come in and think that they need to know every single part of the game plan and know every single role and really overload themselves with information. And some of it sometimes can be irrelevant because they're not going to play those roles necessarily. And you can see these players get so clouded in their own head because they just get swamped with all this information. So the one thing that I've tried to do over the last couple of years is just keep it really simple. Identify, you know, what are the key areas that you need to know? What are the elements of the game plan and for your role, what do you need to execute to get recognised from the coaches and from your peers? And just do that really well. The one thing that doesn't change, and I don't think will ever change, is you just need to be really good at the fundamentals of the game. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty simple game at the end of the day. Although we like to, and definitely as coaches, you like to put a bit of complexity around it. But some things will never change. You just be good at the basics, and you're halfway there.
All right, this is my most important question for you. What is, when you sit down and talk to these kids for the first time, what is your social media advice for them?
Oh, I'd say be careful. Be really careful because you never know. You know, you...
Well, could you turn around and say, don't do it?
Look, they're kids.
You've got to give them more...
They are kids, and they have to have their freedom. And I think if you treat them like kids, they may behave like that. If you treat them like adults and with respect and you hope that they make the right decisions, well, you're going to be okay. So it is a tough one because they're young and they are inexperienced and they don't really see sometimes the whole picture. But you never know where your next job's going to come from. You never know where, you know, who's looking at your pages and stuff
so
like that.
Just so I know you've got a question.
You're pretty careful.
So you've had Jaden Stevenson, for instance, who's been through, you know, a really challenging time this year. So for him, I would imagine, I don't know Jaden at all. He came in and we interviewed him. He was a fantastic, bubbly, up and about. That would have been a pretty confronting thing to if he had checked his social media pages through the course of all that. So that's where I'm getting to. I mean, you are more prepared just to let them find their own mark?
You know what? The AFL do a great job in educating. We run seminars. It couldn't be clearer to the players on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. But they they are young men.
You know, we accept the mistake. I'm more worried about the reaction from the general public and how that then impacts on them.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. And particularly in sport, and it happens across the globe, you're invested in your club and you're invested in the individual, and you fall in love with your team, and you want to see them succeed, and you want your players to succeed because you love them and they're your own. And when they fall, everyone feels it and they get hurt. And in that particular case, for Jaden, the actions that he did cost him opportunities to play, which in turn hurts the team because he's a really good player. He'll learn. And he's only a young fella, and he's certainly not going to be the last guy that makes him a blue like that. Hopefully it's a message for the rest of us.
Before we round this up, one young player that we haven't seen so much of yet or at all at Collingwood that we should keep our eye on next season.
Yeah, look, I really like the look of Tyler Brown. So obviously son of Gavin and brother of
Callum's younger brother.
He's a little bit taller than Cal, a little bit skinnier than what his dad was. But he's an inside mid who's learning his craft, and the development that we've seen in him in the last 12 months at VFL level is very, very exciting. And particularly probably his last month of footy before we finished the season was really exciting. So I think if he can get a bigger pre-season under his belt, put on some weight, I think he'll get his opportunity. And
it's
a tough midfield to get into, but this is where the improvement's got to come from. You asked before about taking the next step. Where does the improvement come from? And it's from the kids. Pendles. He's been an unbelievable player for a long time, and his time will come. He'll move on. It might not be this year. It might not be in 3 years' time, but we need these younger guys to improve and get past the likes of Pendlebury to take the club forward. So he's one that I'm very excited about.
Some Collingwood supporters excited about the prospect of another Brown coming in. And hey, Tux, good luck. I think it's a great role. It's a fantastic role. It rounds out your education as well. And we'll watch and hopefully talk again.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Good luck.
Tuck and Lockyer. Yeah.